Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. You join me, your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as my girlfriend slash producer, Vicky.
Hi, everyone. Again, I'm back.
You're back. She has returned after her short disappearance last episode.
I was actually there.
She was actually there when the episode was filmed.
I was there, but
yeah.
I wasn't allowed to talk.
You were allowed, but we decided that you weren't going to be a part of that episode. You were taking a break because instead I had a guest. I had Ollie Webb dialing into the show while I was dialing him, more realistically. But it was the first time we were sort of trialing this phone call-esque interview, and it just seemed a bit simpler for me to go on a rant for the first 20 minutes, leaving Vicky out of things and then having Ollie on. But Vicky has returned. For those of you that complained on the previous episode, you have overinflated her ego now, and she thinks that she is the star of this podcast, which...
No, I don't. I just think I deserve a co-host title.
Co-host?
Yes.
That's bold.
I don't understand why I have to be a producer, because that's a very much behind the scenes kind of role.
Yeah, I thought that's what I... This is new information to me. You've picked...
Anyway, I'll leave you with that thought.
Picked a very public moment to start trying to go for a new job or a promotion. And I think we're going to have to talk about this with HR next week. anyway, you join us in Trondheim, Norway. I hope that's how you pronounce it. It doesn't look like one of those Norwegian words that is pronounced differently, unlike Bodø, where we were last night, which apparently is not pronounced Bodø. It's something like Bodø.
Yeah, I don't remember. We met a random fisherman. We said, we kept saying to him, we're going to Bodø? And he was like, yeah, Bodø. And we're like, no, Bodø.
No, Bodø, B-O-D-O. And he was like, no, it's Bodø or something.
So we didn't even remember it.
We haven't been doing well with the Scandinavian pronunciations. But we are here because we've been doing this kind of mini Scandinavian tour. And we're going to be getting into all the details of that and teasing some of the upcoming content in today's podcast. I'm also going to be touching on the new Porsche 718 Cayman GT4 and Boxster Spider. I'm sure Vicky will be chipping in as well, considering that I owned a 718 Cayman S. Vicky didn't own it, but it was a family car, let's call it that. It was a car that we used a lot, and Vicky did do some driving.
We're
in.
We're not a family.
Well, okay, calm down. I'm just trying to make it, tie it all together very nicely. But we'll be touching on that, as well as answering some of the questions that you guys have submitted over on Instagram about the trip. Anything else in particular you want to talk about in this episode? Maybe. Things might pop up.
We can start from the current situation.
Yeah, okay, so let's do that. Here we go. Ready to roll. I have no idea what episode we're up to now, but here it is, this week's episode of Behind the Glass. So yes, this is our sort of Scandinavian mini tour. Really marks the end, or really nearly the end, of our mainland European leg of Drive the World. So back in, was it April or March? I think it was the end of March that we set off.
End of March, yeah.
End of March, we set off from the UK in a Porsche UK 911 Turbo S. And now at the end of June, you find us in Scandinavia. And the sort of whole route around Europe was kind of based on these dates in Scandinavia. And when I say Scandinavia, I'm specifically talking about Finland, Sweden, and Norway. Mainly because I wanted to come here when it was at its potentially driest, so end of June or early July. But also, to sort of get here, it needed to coincide with our return to the UK, just because of a logistics point of view. One thing which I think I knew but maybe forgotten was just how huge these countries are. And when planning our route across Finland, Sweden and Norway, the big question is, do you get a ferry from Helsinki across to Stockholm, which is the kind of shortcut, or do you go up into Lapland and the Arctic Circle and then try and drive, you know, across the countries? We decided for the latter, and day four, I think it is, today, we're starting to regret that ever so slightly.
We're exhausted.
We are exhausted. It's basically, there were a whole load of factors that threw us a little bit off track with our route. Let me take you back about a month or so now when we left Bulgaria, which was kind of our midpoint on the European leg. After that, we had some very exciting sort of activations taking place with various sponsors. You may remember Pirelli came on board and invited me down to their Pirelli P0 World in Munich. We had a few other different obligations to meet and a few opportunities present themselves which seemed too good to turn down, like the Mass Audi R8 collection in Ingolstadt, Germany. And so we were sort of moving and shifting some dates and some locations of the route. We had to, unfortunately, cancel our stop off in Prague in the Czech Republic, which I was a bit gutted about. We also had to change some of our destinations in Germany and our routings, and really cut short our route through the Baltics. So Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. And what it's resulted in is the last 10 days have been just constantly on the road. I think every day we've done 6 or 7 hour drives, got into a hotel, fallen asleep, woken up the next morning and done another 6 or 7 hour drive. And we've seen some amazing places. We've been to some amazing places. But it's all becoming a bit of a blur and we're starting to really, yeah, it's starting to take its toll a little bit. We have 2 more days ahead, really. We've got another day tomorrow where we're heading down to Alesund. Again, I don't think I'm pronouncing that right, but it's on the Alesund, yeah, you have to sort of put the sun, you have to put a lot of, they do a lot of sort of, I think that's a bit racist, but.
Oh my God.
No, I think I'm getting that. I think it helps if you put in your own behavior. It's, you sort of get there. So we're going to Alesund, which is on the far western coast. Some of you may know it because it's near Kristiansund, which is where the Atlantic Ocean Road is, one of the most sort of iconic, I think, roads in Europe, if not around the world. If you don't know about it, type it in Google. I will be sure.
Or watch the video.
Well, there we go. That's what I was going to tease. I say, don't type it into Google. Hold tight, and hopefully it's going to feature in a video on the main channel coming soon.
But it might not.
It might not as well, because it depends. Firstly, if we make it there with our exhaustion, but secondly, the weather and various factors, because, yeah, right now, all we want to do is head south to Oslo and fall asleep in a spa in some hotel somewhere. But that's where we will eventually end up. So after Alesund, we then do another 7 hour drive down to Oslo.
It all just seems slightly pointless at one point. Like, we're just kind of going back and forth and back and forth. And it's so hard to plan the route and the actual itinerary so that we get to do everything that we want to do, everything that we should do for the channel, and have time to sleep and have time to eat. It's just impossible. We've basically realised we're running majorly out of time to drive around the world.
To exist. I did actually receive a message about this on Instagram. Somebody DM'd me saying, I've just seen your route through Scandinavia.
You're mad.
When are you going to sleep? Like, when are you going to sleep? Because your drives are 8 or 9 hours per day. And the thing is, we are stopping off to take photos and to film and get the drone in the air and take selfies and explore moments. You know, we don't want to literally just be sitting in the car seeing these places flash by. So we do try and get out and see some stuff from a personal point of view, but also from a content point of view. And that obviously slows us down a little bit. And I've lost my train of thought. But, oh no, sorry, editing. Oh, there we go. My primary job.
Or recording this podcast.
It is currently 11 p.m. Those of you watching on the YouTube channel, if I was to open those curtains behind me in our hotel room, you would still, it's still broad daylight. Broad daylight or bright daylight?
Broad daylight.
Broad daylight. A very strange thing about Scandinavia this time of year, or Lapland, or the northern hemisphere, is the sun really doesn't set. So at 11 p.m. it is really, really bright, and that throws you off a little bit. But yeah, we're recording this podcast at 11 p.m. at night because we arrived here at our hotel at 9 p.m, had some dinner, and have now returned. And after this, I'm going to be editing a video.
We feel majorly jet-lagged, even though we haven't taken a flight or we're not in a different hemisphere. Well, we are in a different hemisphere, I guess.
But we've slowly entered it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
So anyway, we sound like we're complaining, which we shouldn't, because we are having an amazing time and we are doing a once-in-a-lifetime experience, or having a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And I say that because we probably wouldn't do it again. We probably wouldn't choose to do it again. That's why it's once-in-a-lifetime. But all in all, the reason we're here, the reason we're doing this, is that I've been to Scandinavia a couple of times before, but only when it's been covered in snow. And so I really wanted to come back when it was supposedly going to be sunnier and drier, and see this incredible landscape, the fjords of Norway, the lakes of Finland. I don't really know what in northern Sweden, but turned out to be incredible. However, it's also been plagued by rain. And just because of the fact that we just are always running against the clock on Drive the World, we're always chasing our tails in terms of routes and itineraries and deadlines and logistics, it's just meant the last 10 days have felt super duper intense in terms of driving and lack of time. But I'm hoping, as with all experiences on Drive the World, in 2 or 3 weeks' time, we will look back and go, how amazing was that Scandinavian little mini tour? And for me, a big part of why I wanted to do this was to just change up and freshen up the content for me in terms of a creation point of view, because I think the last 3 or 4 weeks in Europe, it's been quite formulaic. I've had some great opportunities and I think made some really cool videos, the Nürburgring lap, the Michael Schumacher collection, driveway goals with Jer Collector, lots of different cool videos, but they're all kind of standalone videos. And so I wanted to make some more travel vlog-esque stuff and to hark back to our Nullarbor adventure in Australia. So basically go out into the wild and into the nature. But I think, yeah, as I say, underestimated the length, the amount of driving that was required to do this up and over bit of Scandinavia, but also the speed limits, the weather, just a lot of things which have slowed us down. So anyway, it is what it is. We've got a couple of days left. Once we get to Oslo, I'm then actually flying down to Munich because, wait for it, people, I'm working with BMW. I don't know if I'm allowed to or what I should be talking about, if I should be talking about this at this stage. More to come on the channel, the main channel. Lots of you who are long-term viewers or listeners will know that I haven't necessarily had the best opinion on BMW over the last 2 or 3 years, but within the last 12 to 18 months, it's been changing, as it does sometimes happen. I know with Alejandro Salamandrin, he suddenly turned around and become the world's biggest Ferrari fan, which I absolutely love, and I'm claiming a part of that, because last time I saw him, I did try and like get a bit of that Ferrari mentality in his brain. I feel like it's worked. So more on that on the US leg, but it's happened to me in BMWs. I just feel like the last 12 to 18 months, I've really started to become excited by their products, by their brand. We talked about it in a previous podcast. And from that, unbelievably, I'm going to be working with them at a really huge and cool and exciting event they've got going on in Munich, celebrating all of kind of like the future of BMW and the future of automotive. So more on that to come. But yeah, we'll be flying down to Munich for that and then back to Oslo to collect the car. And we start making our way south back towards the UK. So we'll be stopping off in Stockholm for a couple of days, then down towards Copenhagen for literally one night, and then Amsterdam for two nights. And then we're back in the UK in time-ish for Goodwood Festival of Speed. I don't know for sure that I'm going to be there. If I'm completely honest with you, I'm not sure I'm going to have the energy. Goodwood is such a commitment, such a sort of huge, huge thing just to go and enjoy. It's exhausting. I think I will try and get there because it would be a shame. It would have been the first time in about 15 years that I haven't been to Festival of Speed, but no guarantees at this stage. But anyway, that's kind of what we're trying to get back for, because a number of our partners this year have got activations or things going on at Festival of Speed, and so it would be nice to be able to go and see them and support them and yeah, share some of the trip with them whilst I'm back in the UK. So I think that brings you up to speed with where we are, why we're here, what we're doing. I want to move on and talk about something that has excited me a lot, aside from Drive the World, in the recent week, which is the reveal, the launch of the Porsche Cayman GT4 and Boxster Spider. Now, Vicky, I'll bring you back in because you're yawning on the bed back there. So, our 718 Cayman S, how would you say that compared to the Carrera T?
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In terms of what?
Well, your opinion. Your opinion. Like, how do you rate the Cayman S? Did you like it? Did you think it was good car?
I did. Yes, I think it was. I think it was slightly slower than our Carrera T. Well, your Carrera T. The one thing I miss about it in the Carrera T, and that's really a very superficial comment, is the controls for the music and the audio system on the wheel.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I really miss that. I also really liked the shape of the 718 on the outside.
Good-looking car.
Good-looking car.
Which wrap did you prefer, the Cayman wrap or the Carrera T wrap?
I kind of like them both in their own way. Oh.
I don't know if the microphones picked that up, but there was like a very strange rumble. Oh, someone fell over. So should we talk about the hotel quickly? Just to go back to where we are and what's going on right
opening
now.
Opening a bracket.
Yeah, opening a bracket here. Slight pause. We're in the Radisson Blue Trondheim, which seems to be a bit like a sort of
student halls.
Yeah, like there's a bit of a rager going on. Like there's a lot of music happening. A lot of girls dressed in very provocative outfits.
Basically underwear. Camo underwear. Considering it's like 5 degrees outside.
They are not wearing enough clothes. They are going to get sick.
And they're also barefoot. Everyone seems to be barefoot.
Everyone's barefoot. Anyway, there was a bit of a crash and a bang next door. So we think maybe someone's fallen over. Going back, I wanted to touch on what you said about the steering wheel. It's a very interesting observation. The Carrera T comes with the Porsche GT steering wheel, or the Sport steering. I get confused which one's which, but it's the one that's supposed to be like the GT3. So you get no controls because that distracts you from the pure driving experience.
But what distracts me from the pure driving experience is having to change the music on the actual console when you're asleep.
In the center console. When I pass out in the passenger seat and Vicky has to change all the volumes and the skip track button, you do have to lean over to the center console, and it's not an obvious position. There's a lot of buttons down there, and it's something I never really thought about until spending this much time in the car, because the GT-esque steering wheel is a nicer looking wheel. It's a more classic looking wheel, and it's no fuss. But actually, to live with every day, I think you want the on-wheel controls. And potential exclusive reveal, I'm not certain it's happening yet, because I got no money, but I'm hoping to find some money. But I've been speaking to Portia Guilford about some wooden parts for the Carrera T. Something I've banged on about quite a lot in various Porsche content is that wood needs to come back. Forget carbon fiber. It's all about wood. And they do offer a parts, you know, upgrade for the 991.2, which includes a wooden steering wheel with volume controls and all the different Sick. Buttons. So I know that means I'll I've
be
got
very happy.
Yeah, I've got Vicky's permission to spend some cash now. So TBC where that's going to happen, but the added benefit would be the return of steering wheel controls. But apart from that, we liked the 718, didn't we? It was just it's a very good car.
It was, yeah, it was.
Just did everything it needed to do. Sure. However, would you not agree that when it came to sound, it sounded a bit poo compared to
it sounded like nothing.
Yeah, it was just a nah, which I think is a common complaint for the four-cylinder 718s. They just sounded crap. And so even when you were pushing on, the car was very good and very quick. It was so unemotive. It was just like nah. So the big question mark over the potential 718 GT4 was, what were Porsche going to do? Were they going to stick with this sort of new era of turbocharging, the four cylinders, or were they going to go naturally aspirated? Because I think it was, well, everyone wanted naturally aspirated maybe, but then it sort of felt like Porsche would be taking a step backwards if they did that. And there were just so many question marks, and the GT4 kept getting delayed. We kept seeing spy pics of it on the Nürburgring and potential release dates and reveal dates. But anyway, finally, last week, I believe, it was revealed. And I think it's exciting. I think it's potentially good news. It's the 4-litre naturally aspirated engine. At the moment, only offered with a manual gearbox. Looks good. It's got all the sort of GT aero that you would expect. It looks a bit like the TechArt 718 Cayman, if not exactly like that. And it looks like an updated version of the 981 GT4. I think it's great. I mean, I think it's fantastic. I love the 718. The idea of a GT4, I think, is perfect. I would love one. I don't think I'll ever get a slot on one. And I don't think I'll ever have them. Well, I might have the money to buy one at some point. I don't know when. Probably not this year.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. That's where Magnitude Finance, you guys come in. Just a quick plug there for my fantastic financing partners, Magnitude Finance. But it's not an expensive car. That's why I say maybe one day I will. Because I think list in the UK, it's 74 grand or something, which still makes it relatively affordable in the Porsche GT lineup. If it had come out and been over 100, I would have been like, well, no chance. But I feel like if things go my way and somehow Magnitude pull through and Porsche somehow, I don't know how, why, would give me a slot, it feels relatively achievable. But let's see. I think it's brilliant. The big sort of question mark is, I guess, over the Boxster Spider, a car which sometimes gets forgotten or overshadowed by the Cayman. But the previous generation Boxster Spider was actually much rarer. Maybe not as hardcore, obviously, but much rarer in terms of actual numbers that were built and potentially more desirable if you were in a country where you could have the roof off constantly, because the roof is really just a tent with the Boxster Spider, and that doesn't work in the UK or anywhere where you're going to have rain or snow or dirt. But the 718 Boxster Spider has got a lot more hype, I think, than the GT4. People are absolutely loving the lines of it. So quite an interesting thing. Not a car for me, personally. But it seems to be that a lot more people are making, I feel, a lot more noise about the Boxster Spider than the GT4. But both brilliant. I think Porsche have to be applauded. I'm not anti them going to the 4-litre. I think it's a brilliant decision. It revs to 8,000 RPM. The thing is going to sound amazing. But I'm not going to get too excited. I'm not going to talk about it too much because, as I say, what's the point? I don't think I'll ever be awarded a slot for one. And even if I did, well, I'd have to pretend to Vicky like I had to. I don't know where that money would have gone. Anyway, let's move on. She wasn't paying attention, so we can talk about something else.
I'm always paying attention.
That's terrifying. I want to answer some of the questions you guys have been sending in, because as we introduced a couple of episodes ago now, we're going to be doing this. We're going to be trying to respond to you guys each week, whether it's questions about Drive the World or questions about your own life, advice that you might want. And so we're going to just dive in. I did this again on Instagram Stories. And I'm going to pick out a few. We're not going to do too many. Hopefully we're going to expand on lesser and rather than do more. A very quick one I'm going to start with is R. Coneal, RKO Neil. Where do I find the details of your US tour? Coming soon. I'm literally waiting to push the go live button on my US tour details as soon as Cars, the shipping partner, give me the green light, because we're just waiting for a couple of final documents to come back for the car going to America. If you don't know, yes, the 911 Carrera T is going to be headed to America, theoretically, for the US leg. But the paperwork involved, as you can imagine, of getting a car into the US is a lot. I mean, it's intense. So I'm just waiting for them to say, yes, all clear, all approved, before I announce the US leg. Because if we have any issues there, our US route is going to change quite dramatically. So just to have a little scroll through. This is something I want to talk about. Vicky, to bring you back in. Sorry, I don't know if you're scrolling
here.
On Instagram.
I'm here. I'm trying to catch up with my personal life.
Zoning in, zoning out. This is something that's come up quite a few times. Luxurious... God, this is so hard. Luxurious Diedsheim. How bored was Vicky during the big R8 collection day? Somebody else asked, what does Vicky do when you're filming? You know, where does Vicky hide during the, you know, in-car moments, blah, blah. So I think we can say, and correct me if I'm wrong, 99% of the time you are with me for Drive the World videos.
Yeah, for sure. Like, 99%. Of 100 videos, I'm there.
You're there. So either we edit her out to the point where in the car, obviously the GoPro's angled so that you can't see her, or if I'm getting shots of the car or whatever it might be, she jumps out, or often a lot of the shots that you see are actually filmed by Vicky. I've dabbled with an exterior cameraman. I had Joel, I don't know, some of you might remember Joel, used to appear on the old podcast. I've had Jonathan Benson help me out on occasion. And now Vicky's taken on this kind of role of seen through glass camera person. And I just, you know.
Seen through glass all rounder.
All rounder, ticking all the boxes. That's a Love Island reference right there. for you losers like me who pretend like we don't enjoy but actually love it. So gutted that it's not on tonight. So a lot of the shots you see, Vicky's actually filming. But then every now and again, for sure, we have those moments like the Audi R8 day or the Driveway Goals Jerk Collector video where there's not really anything for you to do. Like, I don't necessarily need your help. There's nothing that you want to do. So you usually, what do you do?
Well, the annoying thing is most times those kind of filming locations are not in the center of town or not nearby parks or shops or any sort of entertainment. So I would probably sit and read stuff, catch up, or most likely plan our next steps and try and go through hotels, go through the itinerary.
I was going to say, there's a lot of hotel booking.
Planning, a lot of, you know, I use that time wisely. but it doesn't faze me, it doesn't bore me. It hasn't bored me so far.
I think the...
Because if it bored me... We've been together for a long time.
Well, we're giving some personal details away. But I think what we can say is when we met, I was already seen through glass. I was already running a YouTube channel.
Yeah, so it's always been the case. So it doesn't feel like it's something new.
Part of our existence or our relationship has always been that I've got to go off and film these videos. And from very early on in our relationship, Vicky's been around me whilst I've been filming and had to or wanted to find ways to entertain herself as I nerd out about challenge finales in car parks. But I think it's important to say that you are also, you do find it interesting. You do find it exciting. You like meeting people. You like hearing about the cars. You like learning. It's only on some of them when they're like super technical and nerdy, i.e. the Michael Schumacher collection day, when it was like, I'm just going to go and do a one take walking around the Michael Schumacher collection.
Yeah, but for example, I enjoyed the Danny Rick. Was it Danny Rick? No. Oh, no.
Who? What?
Who was it?
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, the one that we did before Michael Schumacher's.
Collection. Fernando Alonso.
Yes.
Okay. Danny Rick. You liked the Fernando Alonso collection.
Yes, and did I enjoyed you? It okay. because it was easy. It was an easy day.
It was an easy day.
What I find boring is the sort of factory visit. And yeah. I think your viewers would also agree that that's a, you know.
Some of them I think might find it interesting. I'm not a factory visit kind of guy. That's very much a Shmi 150 territory. And I think both of us struggle in that environment. But there are definitely just some videos where I know it's not going to be that entertaining or exciting for you. And I think you know it as well. And we should try and go, right, now would be a good time for Vicky to go and have time to herself, or to do catch up with her friends, or to do some work or whatever. It's usually work, let's be realistic. But at the same time, there hasn't really been a moment where either of us have been twiddling our thumbs, really.
No, not at all. I mean, if anything, we're running out of time.
Yeah, yeah, we're always stressed and exhausted.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, talking about I don't know, I'm trying to find a segue there, I didn't have one.
What's the next one?
InterRoads has asked, podcast recommendations, please. And this comes off the back of actually us asking for podcast recommendations earlier in the week.
Desperately asking for podcast recommendations.
Knowing that we had this big Scandinavian tour, we were looking for podcast recommendations because this is how we pass the time in the car. Many of you have asked this, like, what do we do on these long road trips?
We churn through podcasts.
I mean, the whole reason I was inspired to start this podcast was because we were listening to so many on road trips. It just passes the time like nothing else. And this is from coming from someone who loves music. Like, I'm obsessed with music. I used to, back in the day, always make road trip specific playlists, listen to the same track over and over again, loved it, super happy, until the day of podcasts, at which point my music consumption has diminished and my podcast consumption has increased no end. So
recommendation.
Should we bash through the easy ones? As in, like, if you haven't listened to these, where have you been? Like, you're just getting to podcasts. Maybe you listen to this. Maybe you listen to, well, you used to listen to Salamandrin's Let's Talk About Casio. You might listening to The Smoking Tires. What does he call his podcast? I think he just calls it The Smoking Tire. I'm thinking of automated ones. If you haven't checked out WTF1, they do some awesome podcasts around the F1 season and F1 history. And then away from automotive. Wow, my stomach just rumbled. Again, I don't think the microphone picked that up.
If you hear something like a cat.
If you hear something weird, like a cat screaming.
Cat Sam, stop.
If you heard a cat screaming, that was my stomach. That was super weird. It literally went.
Well,
and I just ate a huge risotto, so that's weird. Sorry, slight distraction there. So yes, let's cover off the, you know, I've never listened to podcasts before. Serial.
Yes, the first two or something.
No, one and three. Best ever. It's a true crime podcast. These are the best genre of podcast. It's basically journalists or investigators trying to solve true crime. Oh my god,
murder mysteries,
one over there,
cold cases.
Yeah, true crime cases. There we go, I just had to say it slowly. And Serial is arguably the best one. I won't give away too many details, but it's just amazing and it keeps you on the edge of your seat and it's super addictive. And season one is the best, and then
do you even remember that? We listened to that like 3 years ago
because it's the best one. Season two was super dodgy. Season three, they're now in like the courtroom. We didn't really like it. Actually, we listened to like two episodes and bailed. But there's a one called S Town, which is effectively the same people and the same production company.
I didn't enjoy S Town.
Are you mad? You constantly tell me that you loved it and I slag it off. And you're
like, which one was S Town?
The S Town was the one with the guy with the tattoos and the...
And the weird maze.
Yeah, the weird maze.
No, I didn't enjoy
that. I'm literally going to punch you. Because
oh my god, you're going to get an abuse report on this podcast. People will report you.
The amount of times I've said, oh, I didn't really like S-Town. And you're like, what are you talking about? It's so good. Like, S-Town was the best podcast we listened to.
No, I think you're jet lagged. Anyway, keep going.
I'm so angry. It's not even funny. Anyway. Listen to Serial. Dirty John was also good. There's been a TV series, I think a Netflix series has come out about that. What's the other ones that we listen to? I'm going to go through my list,
okay,
actually.
Okay, let's go for the more recent ones. So,
go on then.
Life and Death in LA. To live and die in LA.
To live and die in LA.
That's a recent one that we listened to, which is pretty, pretty good.
Because it's a sort of live narrative. So the case actually unfolds and evolves as they're recording the podcast. So you get them reacting to real life moments, which is quite exciting.
There is closure. Good point. Because most of the time, these podcasts never come to anything. It's so frustrating. It's, you know, you spend all this time listening, committing and dedicating yourself to these characters and the story, and then you don't get any closure.
Good
but
point.
This one does. So
to live and die in LA. Teacher's pet, the soft soil.
Yes, teacher's
this
pet
one
is good.
We loved because we listened to in Australia, and it's about Australia, and it's about an area in Sydney that we stayed in. So it was very relevant to us, and we really enjoyed
and
the teacher's
now,
pet.
This just happens so randomly because we choose these podcasts at random, or we just browse through. So this happened to us in Australia, and now what's happened to us in Norway? The podcast that we've currently been listening to,
Death in Ice Valley.
The action takes place in Norway, right by where we are right now. So that
well,
was
actually,
really...
no, it's a bit further south, but
okay.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Oh, no matter what.
Okay, The Dropout. Do you remember that one about that nutter con woman?
Oh, I didn't enjoy that. It's a bit businessy and not.
It's for the more intellectual listener.
Yeah.
Mogul was one that I actually listened to without you, so that's awkward, but it's quite interesting for those into the hip-hop rap scene. I think maybe Paul Wallace recommended it, I can't remember, but it's about a guy who genuinely, like, basically made 50 Cent and ended up committing suicide, and so it's actually really, really interesting if you're
and
into the whole
scene. Let's not forget our favourite.
Don't out me.
The MIC drop. I'll just leave it at that. I won't say what it is. You guys can Google it and make your own conclusions and judgments.
I should have said, and I totally missed F1 Beyond the Grid, which I am obsessed with. When Vicky falls asleep in the car, that's what I get to listen to. Unfortunately, I don't get to listen to it when she's awake, so I have to catch up with a few episodes. But
I just fall asleep. Every time you put an episode, I fall asleep. It bores me to death.
But for anyone into F1, it's brilliant. And then quickly, the only other one which I'm going to shout out again. A Killing on the Cape was good. But Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. Who remembers Punk'd? Dax Shepard was the blonde guy in that. He's now married to Kristen Bell, who's an actress that... Forgetting Sarah Marshall, she was the blonde one. Anyway, he's kind of this slightly weird guy, Anyway, it started off a bit weak. It was all a bit about him, but he now interviews his celebrity mates or celebrities, everyone from Amy Schumer to Mila Kunis to Seth Rogen to whoever. They're really long and quite in-depth, and they're all about, like, you know, getting in touch with your emotions and, like, why are you like that? He just did one with Will Ferrell that I highly recommend. Give it a go. As I say, it's quite American and it's quite like, who are you and this is how we feel. But once you get into it and kind of understand this Dax guy, I quite enjoy them. So that's a different one. But Vicky's not. She doesn't like him. So that's probably our podcast recommendations, right?
Quite a few there for you.
Quite a few, yeah. We probably should have listed
them
in a better way.
A whole round the world trip worth of podcasts.
Of podcasts, yeah, but we're still looking for more. So, yeah.
Yeah, so any ones that we haven't mentioned now, please...
Please let us know.
Let us know.
Yeah. Anyway.
And don't say case file, because Sam hates the voice of the guy.
Oh, my God. No, and I don't like single episodes. I like series. I like...
Like a long story.
I'm trying to wrap things up, so just...
Okay, sorry.
Just shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
You guys might not hear me on the next episode.
No, she's going to be cut out. Well, because it is 11:30 and I've got work to do, and we've got another early start tomorrow as we head over to Kristiansund and Aljusund. Apologies if I'm being racist to any Scandinavian, Norwegian listeners.
Offensive.
Thank you.
Racist. It's completely different.
Okay, sorry. I struggle with words. If you're watching us here on YouTube, make sure to give this video a thumbs up, hit subscribe, and turn on notifications so you don't miss future episodes. If you're listening to us, wherever you're listening to us, make sure, again, you subscribe or follow to this series. But actually, what I would ask you to do is please give us a 5-star rating, especially if you're listening to us on iTunes podcasts. But wherever you are, if you have the opportunity to rate us, please do so. It will help others discover, find, and listen to this podcast. And that's all we can really ask of you. But
and get Sam to promote me as a co-host of this podcast, please.
Okay, we're going to cut things off right there. I hope you all enjoyed it. We will catch up with you next week for another episode of Behind the Glass. Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.